For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Big opening, big fun, big fish with Second Generation.
Wasn't that satisfying?
Very much so.
Yeah, I think that everyone left very, very happy, beginning with the reconfiguration of the Smith Theater.
Yes.
That really gave an added intimacy to a production that benefited from it. It's the story of a father and son who become estranged because the father is evasive about his true life story while spinning tall tales, which become frustrating to the child, and as an adult, he begins to suspect that his father's hiding something. And he is, but not in the way his son thinks.
And I think the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Dad has a certain way of coping with reality, and the son has his way, which isn't exactly normal either. Very suspicious.
I love the way the father spins fictions, the son is a news reporter.
Right. One thing I was very impressed with was the direction of Michael Wallin, who also did the choreography. But when we see the nuclear family, they have to be normal and real. And that's exactly how they act, while around them are these out-of-their-mind characters.
We are always very clear about when we are rooted in reality and when we have spun off into fantasy. With minimal scenery effects, though excellent videography by Brian Milbrand, nicely integrated into the production. In the beginning, when they first gave that little Alabama water landscape, I was startled when the birds started to move, and that was just the beginning of a careful progression through the drama. But little things, the giant suggested just by platform shoes, the witch marvelously played by Victoria Perez with just that little LED sphere. And the fan, which apparently came out of rehearsal, that they developed it themselves.
Wow.
All of the witches had fans, which make that fabulous rippling brump sound.
Oh, it's more than just a ripple. It was bang.
Yeah, really marvelous. But each of the fanciful characters had a special quality and beautifully cast, beautifully directed.
Well, I think we're going to be talking about musicals, musicals, musicals this program, Anthony. We're going to go over to the BPO, not for a musical per se, but highlights from Jerry Herman musicals, a number of which folks probably don't know anything about. I know I mentioned Mac and Mabel, completely new to me, but you said...
It's his best score. Yeah, I'm very familiar with Mac and Mabel. It was originally on Broadway, Robert Preston, Bernadette Peters. Beautiful songs, among the most beautiful he ever wrote, many of which have become standards in the cabaret scene. But the ending of the Mac and Mabel story, this is Mac Sennett, the silent comedy director, and Mabel Normand, his key star. And her life was so tragic that it made it difficult to tell the story of their lives together and to have a satisfying conclusion. But the music is beautiful, and I guess we'll feature five of them from Mac and Mabel. But Jerry Herman is also the writer of Hello, Dolly, and Mame, and La Cage aux Folles. He's one of the greatest living Broadway composers. And the company they've brought, Tony Award winner Debbie Gravett, but also wonderful Ron Raines. Soap opera watchers will know him for his Emmy-nominated performances as some soap opera villain or other. Not my world, but I have seen him many, many times, including twice in Follies. Once in the Detroit production in 1988, which also featured Edie Adams and Juliet Prowse and Nancy Dussault. And once the Kennedy Center production in 2011, which he reprised in New York. He's a marvelous performer, and the others as well. Clea Blackhurst, who's so known for her performances as Ethel Merman, and also her Jerry Herman performances. But these are artists who have performed at Carnegie Hall, at Feinstein's, at the Algonquin, at Birdland, and they are populating this show along with two NU students.
At Klein Hans Music Hall this morning at 10:30 and Saturday night at 8. How did they get the gig? Win a contest?
Kind of. Some of these artists came in early. I don't know who, but worked with students at NU and selected two of them to perform with the BPO, which is a fabulous kind of thing. And a connection that's been lacking since the loss of Studio Arena Theater. The shows that come through Shays sometimes do master classes with students, which is also wonderful. I do think the impulse to bring some Broadway people in, and another example would be the performance of Hunchback of Notre Dame this weekend. Broadway people coming in, students, local professionals. This is a good exchange and interaction, which I hope will grow.
Well, I wanted to talk about that, the Hunchback of, I'll say, Notre Dame. You like that better than Notre Dame?
I kind of like the contrast between the two of us.
Anyway, it's a concert performance of the music, which is what really attracted some of our prominent local performers. I know Katie Miner and Ariana Davidow said, man, the minute I knew that I had a chance to get on stage and sing Mencken and Schwartz songs, I grew up with these songs. And other local actors are really thrilled with the idea of bringing high school kids on stage with some Broadway performers, some local professionals. This is, quote unquote, how it's supposed to be.
I like the idea also. And you have three chances to see it. Tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow at 2 and at 7:30.
And the nice thing about buying tickets online for Rockwell is their special senior citizen pricing.
I have that to look forward to.
Well, with that, for Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.